All right, in 1 Chronicles, the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 21, most of you are probably familiar with this. The Lord's been dealing with me on this for the past few days. Like I told you earlier, I've got three messages that I've set to preach, and two of them are very pertinent for today. I believe this is the most pertinent. It's the latest. It's what God gave me after Melissa and I prayed a couple days ago. That I may know. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1 and verse 2. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab and to the rulers of the people, "Go, number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it, that I may know." Now, for me, a couple days ago, that was the most pertinent thing of this word. It's what God brought to my attention, that I may know. But then yesterday, after considerable prayer in the morning, early hours, and the things that were going on, and we've heard reports that they're going to shut the government. Yeah, that was yesterday. Within 36 hours, that would be now within 24 hours. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. I know they've got contingency plans for the military, and they've got this and this and this so on and so forth. We've all got businesses, or we've got businesses to run. We've got cattle, we've got lands, and so we have all, and we have families, and we have parents, and some have grandparents yet, and so on and so forth. But what I really noticed yesterday, and I'm going to speak a little of it, I added a prologue to this. I won't go long this morning, but I had a prologue, and Satan stood up against Israel. And boy, that thing hit me. And Satan stood up against Israel. That's where we are. Satan has stood up again. And you say, well, that's Satan. And you don't think of that as God, but I'll get into that in the prologue. But I want to talk to you about that I may know. Why is it that we must know it? How much simpler your life would be, oh man, if I just didn't know it. Have you ever tried to erase what you know? Now, the stuff that you want to know, you can't remember. But how about the, man, I can remember things I did when I was about his size, if they were bad. But I don't remember the good. Is it not sin itself simply knowing? And I remember in Genesis, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew, Genesis 3:7. And they, what happened when their eyes were open? They knew. I'm not against knowledge, and you'll know this. Ever try to unwind what you know? It's amazing that the human mind can't remember that which is good, or that which you really, really need to know. But it never forgets that which is, we've all got memories. I had things come across my mind this morning. Just a thought from something way back when. I was reading about a man that had died, a famous man, and he was born in Houston, Texas. He grew up in Houston, Texas. Well, I sort of, my formative years, I grew up in Houston, Texas. Well, there were similarities in her life. And those thoughts came rushing back, things that I'm grateful God doesn't remember. You see, Genesis 3 gave us that trait. When their eyes were open, our eyes were open. It passed down to us. God, the Bible says, cannot only forgive, but the Bible says he forgets our sins, those that are in Christ Jesus. And I think often we don't dwell enough on that he forgets our sins. Shall remember no more. Hebrews 10:17, he said, our sins and iniquities shall I remember no more. It's hard to, well, you can't imagine it that God could forget. You see, that's supernatural. You try it. Who doesn't have a sin they'd love to forget? You remember what David said, the psalmist? My sin is ever before me. Lord knows I can forget all but sin. Women never forget. I don't know what to do. You know, they'll bring something up 20 years ago. Well, you spilled the milk last time you got that. Honey, that was 20 years ago. You know? And also, just a note, you know, you remember the descriptor of Satan? We talked about Satan here. He's the accuser of the brethren. And even when Christ went home, they said a prophet's not without honor in his own home. You go home and they'll remember. And they'll remember. And they'll remember, you see. Even a word I shouldn't have said years and years ago. Something I shouldn't have seen. We've all had that. But David said here, he said, that I may know. Do you know what the most prevalent aspect in our society is today? That we may know. Isn't it? We have something that was never had in the history of mankind. Instant communication. That what? That we may know. How often do we're getting daily, not daily, I get minute, hour briefings on this virus. Why? We may know. What if we didn't know? We're out here in the country right now. My pocketbook could have a little more money in it from all the groceries we've had to go buy because everybody else is buying groceries. You see? If we didn't know. David owns a business. I've owned a business, and I've been in contact with the man that owns the business that I'm with now. If we didn't know, tomorrow would just be another day. If we didn't know. But we do know. So we've got to go on because we do know. I read this morning that the president of Mexico, and I think he's half socialist. Now I'm wishing we maybe could trade him a little bit. If they want to trade one for one or something. Because he said, we're just going about our daily business. Because if we don't, it's going to affect the poor. And it's going to affect everybody. Have you seen the effect of knowing in this country? Man told me yesterday, the owner of the business, I'm waiting, he said, man, don't tell anybody about that 36-hour deal. He said, He said, the government hadn't said that. I said, do you think the government would tell us that? I worked for the government for 13 years. You tell the people they got 36 hours, you see? But so we're in the business, we're in the society of no. I know the weather. I know the news. I know whereabouts. Man, you can put a chip in a dog or a cat. You can put it in. They're not going to put one in, but you can put it in. And we have GPS. We know the data, the facts, the details, the numbers. I've got a machine, this thing right here, a little piece of plastic. I don't know if it's a machine. I guess I don't know what else to call it. That today tells me all I ever want to know. I can type in there, what's the temperature in Bangladesh? I can get it. Hey, okay, I don't have to go to the library. I looked up a... I'm reading a book on the Spanish flu epidemic of 1918, and it mentioned Jefferson Davis, of the president of the Confederacy. Well, I wanted to know something about Jefferson Davis. When did he die? What happened to him after the war? I didn't remember that. Well, I just pushed the button on the little machine. I've got a little bitty machine and a little bigger machine and a little bigger machine and then a pretty good size machine desktop. We all do, don't we? A little piece of flat plastic and you want to know? There it is, you see. Be better off if when you want to know, you just open this Bible, but that's another message, you see. So more than we want to know. Knowledge and wisdom is good. Now, I'm not preaching against it. But to what end? You see, look, Eric's heard me say this many times. I read it off a board one time in a meeting. L-U-C-K, luck. Everybody says, man, you're lucky. Well, actually, luck is the Lord. It's called labor. It's a great acronym. Labor under correct knowledge. You want to get luckier? Labor under correct knowledge. You see? I mean, that's just the way that it is. But to what purpose is this wisdom? To what purpose is this knowledge? And that's what we're paying for. Because somebody has taken the knowledge of good and evil and probably in a lab in Wuhan, China, created something to probably get rid of us. And they probably tried it on them first and then figured out how to fix them, but didn't pass that along to us. You see? What God say when their eyes were open and they knew? Is thou eaten of the tree? I've got a first primer. I don't know if any of you ever seen that. It's a little book. What they used to teach kids back in last century and early this century. Last century, let's say, that'd be the 20th century. And I believe on into the, maybe even into the 19th century. And it's what kids in the first, second, third, fourth, up to the, like, fifth grade or something. And it was, you couldn't get a college graduate to know what they knew in that first primer. Isn't that surely about all we'd ever need to know? And is there anything other than this book that we need to please God? And what are we here for? David said, I'm not here to persuade men. That's another message I've got. I'm here to persuade God. Listen, I'm not here to please men. I'm here to please God. Okay? Are we to please men or God? Do we need a knowledge to please God? How are you going to please God with knowledge? He is God. He's all-knowing. That boy, that little boy there sitting, he's not going to please me with what he knows. No, that's right. Amen. He's going to please me with what he does. You ever think about it? But we place such an emphasis on what people that work for us, people that work with us, what they know. When really, what does he do? People tell me they know everything. But the do part, they have a little problem with, you see. I preach most often, those of you folks that know, of our gifts, the gifts that God gives us, gifts and talents. You see, those gifts that be from God, what is it that God not only gave, but equipped us to do? He gave David gifts. King David, he gave him gifts. But Satan provoked him to what? To know. Not to do. When David was busy about doing with the gifts that God gave him, he fared well. But to know. If you know anything about Pandora's box, to know. Everybody wants to know. Listen, I've preached this for years and years. Just tell somebody, look, whatever you do, don't look under that. You can do whatever you want in here, but don't look under that. Don't look in that. Don't open that. That's off limits. Don't. And you know what will be in their mind? All day long. You can work here, but you can't go in there. And wonder what's in there. I see him going in there. Haven't you ever seen a house like that looks a little... You drive by it and look, I wonder who lives there. I wonder what they do there. You see? I've driven by business. I wonder what they do there. It's unfortunate, our human nature. We want to know. And that's what Satan does. He's yet subtle. Remember the serpent? He was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he to this day makes us, rather provokes us, to know. Hey, don't you want to know? Don't you want to be gods? Like God, knowing good and evil? You see? You can't say he doesn't, because he does. We love the details. I really do. What I want, kind of like, we got a generation deal here, but like Joe Friday, that was an old cop show, 30-minute cop show in the 50s and maybe 60s, I don't remember, but for sure in the 50s when I was a boy. Joe Friday, it was called Dragnet. And they'd knock on the door, Joe Friday, LAPD. And did you see anything unusual, ma'am? And they'd start, he'd go, just the facts, ma'am. I never forgot that. Just the facts. And that's what I really want from the news. It sort of used to be that way. That's all Walter Cronkite would tell me. It was boring, but I got the facts and it didn't take too long, you see. What I get today is Harry and Meghan and Kyle or Kylie Jenner or Kardashian. I don't want that, you see. But that's the headline. You know why? Because inquiring minds want to what? No. You know why? Exactly why those of other countries come here? Who doesn't want to come here? How many people do you find in the world? If we could have everybody in the world raise their hand on satellites, who would like to free trip to America? How about if everybody wants a free trip to Russia? No hands. How about Iran? Anybody want to go? I'm North Korea. Man, we've got a pleasure cruise to North Korea. But how about to America? They come here for the knowledge of good and evil, because we've had it all. We've got abundantly more than anyone else. Who do people want to hang around with? I picked a fella up, y'all know him, Curtis from the walks. He walks everywhere he goes. He's a long bearded guy. He looks like a homeless person. And he has a backpack, and I've picked him up in rain, sleet, and snow walking. Picked him up. I've picked him up 3 times, I think, in recent days. Now he comes running to the truck if I happen to go by him, and I guess he has no one to talk to, so it's kind of hard to rush him out of the truck because I'm on my way somewhere, obviously. He said, you know those people in communes? He said, we got this virus, and those people in communes. He said, you know, that's where we get communism. And he's telling me about the Dominicans. And I'm talking about the order. Is it Dominicans and Franciscans and all this? And he's, you know, whatever. But, I mean, who would you want to spend more time with? Curtis? The homeless-looking guy that does the laundry at the nursing homes, or, you know, the mayor, whoever that is, I don't know. But that's the way we are. We've got abundantly more than anyone else. Those ignorant Arabs and Muslims, they strike all, right? They live like cavemen. I mean, they do to this day, okay? By the way, ignorance just means not knowing. I'm not. They strike all and buy camel, hello, Mercedes. Isn't it? Hello, BMW. Buy camel. Hello, French Riviera. Goodbye, Kathmandu. Right? Hello, New York City. You see? 747 with a gold toilet. Yeah, boy. The Muslims really keep the faith when they get some barrels of oil. Well, they're just like everybody else, you see. But so-called Christians aren't any better. A gal, I think her name's Paula White, but I don't know. They're all gold toilet. She's got a gold toilet, you see. We're moving on up, you know. Yep, we know all about it. Everything we do is based on we know. What we know. David said, that I may know it. Sadly, even in religion, as was the case, if you remember, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, and they too knew all about it. They said, all the congregation are holy. Not just you, Moses. See, they knew. They started knowing too much. What were we talking about, that little boy there? He started to get too big for his britches. Boy said his britches is getting short. They're getting high water. I don't know why we don't get rain down here. But getting too big for his britches, I said, in more ways than one. We all do. We all did. You see? Yeah. Uzzah knew, didn't he? He reached up to help God. Struck him dead. Herod, he wanted to know, where's the babe? And he started killing babies. You know why? Because he wanted to know. Pilate, he wanted to know who Jesus was. Are you the king of the Jews? He wanted to know. He just had to know. Herod, he had to know. He wanted to see Jesus end up with John the Baptist, took his head off. He just had to know. The mixed multitude that left Egypt. Could we say enough of them? Up, they said, make us some gods. We've got to know. We've got to know where Abraham, by faith, he didn't know where he was going. But they had to know. And so it's ever been. All right, now I say all that. This virus. Now what? Stop life. Stop living. Do you know why? Because we want to know. And so we've reached up and we've killed commerce. I sent a message out yesterday to the owner of the company I'm with. And his second in command is COO. I said, commerce is life, and without commerce there is no life. And commerce is the Lord. You understand that? The first man, before there was anybody else, God made him in his own image. So he's like God, made him like God, and he put him in a garden to what? Sit and smell the flowers? To tend it. That's commerce. And we want to kill commerce. Listen, you kill commerce, you're going to kill life. We've got a lot of people that work for our company. David's got a lot of people that work for his company. Eric's got a lot of people that work for him. Jeff's got he worked for Google. There's a lot of people. And I'm going to tell you, before this deal's over with, they're going to be concerned about a lot more things than a virus. Because there'll be no commerce. Nothing to tend, you see. Remember the four lepers, just preached on them here a few weeks back, a time of famine and death. And in 1 Kings 7, verse 3 and 4, they said, why sit we here? Why sit we here till we die on one side with the Syrians? You go over there, they'll kill you. And behind you is a locked city. They won't let them go in there. And they're starving to death. They're eating bird dung. And they said, well, let's go see the Syrians. If they kill us, we'll but die. We'll just die. Well, amen. If the virus kills me, guess what? I'll but die. And then I'll be with the Lord in heaven. But I'm to provide for my family. I'm to tend. I'm to continue. I'm going on with it. I love in the book of Hebrews when they speak it today, when God speaks today, it's not T-O-D-A-Y, it's capital T-O, and then capital D-A-Y, today. Matthew 6:34. Turn over to Matthew 6:34. He said, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." We've all got positions like that. Every single day. If you're a woman in the home with children, or a woman in the home with no children, or a man working, or whatever it is, hey, I've got enough on my plate today. I've got things to do. And they want to kill all that. I've got things to do. I'm a traveling man, and my office got four wheels on it. And oftentimes I caught some of them listening this morning, and they live in four wheels also, and they're traveling, and they're about. And so you do your talking driving. You know why? We've got things to do. If all you've got to do is sit in a chair all day and talk to somebody, you don't have things to do. You're not on the move. It's like we had somebody, and I like that. Years ago, this church 20 years ago said, "I don't want to be baptized in stagnant water, still water. I want to go to the river and be baptized in living water." Because you know what happens with water just sits there? It gets stagnant. You see? It gets stagnant. So give no thought for the morrow, because every day is today. You know what it'll be tomorrow?
Today.
And the day, you know. And I've been doing that now in the Lord for 35 years. No virus, war, calamities, or anything else. Listen, changes that order. That's what I want to give you. God hadn't changed that order through all the wars in history and all the calamities in history, through the children of Israel being in bondage 400. He never changed that order, you see. Shall I die? I don't know. Now listen, what are we talking about that I may know? I don't want to know. Don't want to. We read of a man in the Bible that knew. God gave us a for instance, King Saul. He knew. He went to a crystal ball lady, you know, in 24 hours you're going to be dead. Would you like that? Would you like to know that? You see? How are you going to spend your last 24 hours knowing? My mom. Man, she had cancer, and I preached to her, "Mom, you don't want to know. You don't want to know. I want to know. I want to know. I want to know." You remember? She found out. Lord, have mercy. It was horrendous. You see? What kept me alive? Y'all know the story right out here in this corral when I got the helicopter ride a little over 20 years ago, split in half. Tell my young bride, he's probably not going to make it. If he makes it, he'll probably never walk again. Probably. You know what kept me alive? Not knowing. Because I'm still here. And sometimes, listen, let me tell you something. It was every second. Because of the ordeal of the pain and the suffering. It was every second, every minute, every hour of every single day. You know why? Because I didn't know. And so I had a duty laid up immovable in a bed, not knowing to do. Every single day. Fighting. To stay alive and get through today. Don't let Satan provoke you that you may know. Today. You know what? Today it's already started. I said, Melissa's going to feed the cow. She's already gone out and fed the cattle. the chickens, the dogs. Tomorrow, I don't know, but today, that's what she's doing. Today, right? I'm going to sell trucks, okay? If I can't sell trucks, I'm going to sell eggs. If I can't sell eggs, well, maybe I think there's a pretty good market for guns. Whatever. It's what I do, just like preaching this word. You know what I'm, you know, I know it's just today, but if we're here next Sunday and it's today, I'm going to preach this word. And the Sunday after. And this, it's what I do. That I may know? No. It's what I do today. Every day is today. Is the death angel about us? Yes. Shall we hear the cries? Yes. But we sang a song this morning. When the blood. When I see the blood, the Lord said, I shall pass over you. Are you washing the blood of the Lamb? The blood was applied to my heart years ago. I was washing the blood of the Lamb. I actually washed the blood of the Lamb before the foundation of the earth. You want to know something? Do I understand it? No. Do I believe it? No, I know it. You see? My sins are forgiven. All passed away. I'm not only ready, but willing. Not that I may know, but that I may trust him today. Now, that's, I want to, the word that God gave me a couple days ago. If you turn the book of John, I want to read you 6 verses. The book of John, chapter 14. That's not the verse I'm looking for. Well, maybe we'll find it. I have John 14, 1 through 6, but that's not it. I wrote this down this morning. Hey, John. You heard me talking about John. Well, I'll go with the prologue. Then I'll go back and look. Our text, 1 Chronicles 1:21. I told you that I had a word on. And Satan stood up against Israel. And certainly Satan is standing against us today. But there's two things that I want you to remember of this account of such. Because it's prevalent for what's going on with us right now, and especially in this country. Don't be provoked of him as David was. Because the cost is too high in knowing. It cost David 70,000 men. 70,000. If you'll remember, God told Satan, he said, have you considered my servant Job? Hey, John. How you doing, boy? Have you considered my servant Job? You see, God always allows these things. And that, we believe and know, is the sovereignty of God. God allows such in his administration. I don't understand it. Don't have to know it. It's our reaction of faith that he seeks. And the number two thing, the answer to it all, while yet on this earth. And that's found in the book of Job. If you go to the book of Job, you know I have this scripture, right? And as soon as I finish the message, I'll have the other scripture, right? I'm sure I wrote it down wrong in the early morning hours. Job chapter 38. In the first 3 verses. Now, to preface this, you have to understand everything that happened to Job, but save the Lord himself, I don't know anybody that went through more than Job. He lost his seven sons and daughters, and he lost all his animals and some domiciles, and then he had a wife, a nagging wife. And then he had balls on his body, and he's sitting in the burn pile scraping those with a piece of shard pottery. And then his friends who came to comfort him made him more miserable. There was just nothing going on. Job was having a bad day. But in the end of it all, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, and I've used this counsel many, many times in business and in the church. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? See? Knowledge, knowing. But he knowing the right things, not the things that his friends harped on him or his wife was nagging him about. And God, he did not, and I want you to hear this for today, he did not let Job stay in the pity party. Okay? He just simply wouldn't allow it. He said, gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. And it's the best advice I've ever heard, and it's the best advice I've ever given. No one save the Lord himself suffered as Job, but there are no pity parties in God's army. I got up this morning, and I girded my loins just like I do every day. And I got up, and I'm about it. And all these people, and they're thinking about quarantine. Well, we're quarantined. We're to shelter in place. You know when I'm going to shelter in place? When there's a tornado right over the top. And I've done that. I lived in Mississippi. I'm not going to shelter in place over whatever's going on here. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do all those things. And I've got great books to read. My mind's not going to shelter in place. You see? Gird up now thy loins like a man, I'll demand of thee, and answer thou me. I'm to answer to God. All others pay cash. You see? Today. Now, this, I do have this scripture correct. Hebrews chapter 3, and that's where we'll end. Hebrews chapter 3. And I thought this was a short message. But you're all sheltered in place. Doesn't make any difference. See? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 15. He said, take heed, brethren. I pray that's all of us. Lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, capital T, little O, capital little D-A-Y, separate word, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. We've got the provocation. We've got Satan standing against us. We've got all, but God's given us the account. He's given us the antidote. And he's given us all that we'll ever need. So I can do all things through Christ Jesus. You see? So with all these things about us, and I'm not a positive guy. I'm not a rah-rah guy. I can do all that, but I'm not. I'm not a glass half full or half empty. I'm just grateful I got something in the glass. And I'm going down the road with what I got. If I can, I'll fill the glass up. If I can't, I won't. But it won't be because I'm not digging the well. You understand what I'm saying? Today.